This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and come to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at the great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground."
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 14 through 16. Jesus said, "With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand. And you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Here's the part where we do a little bit of fancy footwork. We're going to bring the screen over so we can see these photographs for the sermon. I feel like we should have music playing for a scene change. There we go. There we go. Thank you, Hong. All right. So you won't see anything for this first little bit. Don't worry about that. In this morning's Hebrew Bible reading, Moses is minding his own business, tending his father-in-law's flock of sheep, when he notices a burning bush. Scripture quotes him as saying, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight." And no wonder, I think we all would imagine, right, that if we were in Moses' shoes, and we would have our attention caught by such a miracle as well, and we would turn aside and go take a closer look. But the truth is, we walk past miracles all the time and do not stop to pay attention to them. The number of times this summer that I've stood on our front stoop calling my family to come marvel at the gorgeous colors in the sky of the sunset, and they've rolled their eyes, or if I'm lucky, you know, maybe they popped their heads out the door and said, "Oh yeah, that's really nice, Mom," before going back inside to whatever it was that they were doing before. You know, we tend to walk past loved ones reuniting at the airport because we got a flight to catch. We tend to drive right past the "turn out for a scenic lookout here" signs on the highway because we have somewhere to be. We tend to just knock back our communion juice like it isn't tangibly reminding us and sustaining us with the greatest, most unfathomable love in the world. Today we're talking about the theology of photography, which is, above all, the art of seeing. Through light, through composition, through shutter speed and focus and all sorts of technical elements, the process of photographing something and the experience of viewing a photograph help us to see what we didn't see before, to capture a magnificent moment or gorgeous vista, yes, but also to notice anew so many ordinary miracles. Photography is a complicated art if you care to dive in deep. My husband Chris, who has been learning a little bit of the art of photography the last several months on a secondhand DSLR camera, he's remarked that he's figured out just how much he doesn't know, and that portraiture, for example, taking a good shot of someone you love, has completely different rules and approaches than landscape photography, which is completely different from taking still lifes that are interesting, which is completely different from taking action shots, especially like on a sports field. They all have their own sets of equipment. If you're trying to capture a bird that's on your bird feeder and it's moving, but you need that really big zoom lens in order to not scare the bird away, I mean, there are so many different elements to it that you're never done learning. It's definitely something that keeps you humble. We had a great discussion at Bible study on Wednesday night about the scriptures and also about photography. And Don Russo, one of whose photographs we'll see in a minute, said, you know, think of all you have to do to get that perfect shot. All that time and energy to get that one perfect shot. If you have ever gone out and earnestly tried to photograph something and maybe you've taken 100 photographs and two turned out decently or how you wanted them, she said that reminds her of time with God. We show up every Sunday morning, we show up in our prayers every day, and usually it turns out okay, right? But it's only once in a while that maybe we feel really that we're on this imminent holy ground, like the kind of experience that Moses faced, and yet we still do it because of that practice, and that if we don't show up and try to take the picture, if we don't show up in prayer, then we're never going to get the one in 100 shot, right? We're never going to get that transcendent experience. So I've just made it sound like a lot of work, right? But photography can also be really simple. You see, you point, you click, and anyone with a camera, especially phone cameras these days, right, that take care of so much of the different technical aspects of it for you, anyone with a camera can see and take that shot. We're going to look at a few photographs now to kind of illustrate some of these points. Thank you, Valerie, for turning down the lights for us. All right. There we go. Thank you, huh? Man, I tell you, especially with a sermon like this, it takes a whole village to get everything to come off right. Okay, hopefully you can see this well in the sanctuary and then also in just a second online. Often with photography, it's a case of stopping to notice something that everyone else has walked by and then maybe coming in closer for a detail that everyone else has missed. You might know, I've shared this before in a couple sermons and at Digital Prayer, that I love to do flower walks where I just take my camera phone with me and I go around the neighborhood and I try to get interesting shots of flowers. You may not be able to see, but this one right here has a little bug on it, a little pollinator that landed right on that leaf. And I loved the colors and that, you know, the background and the foreground are blurry, but that flower and that bug are right in focus. And I wouldn't have even seen that little insect. I wouldn't have even seen this sort of imperfect, perfect flower here with its holes in its petals. Looks a tiny bit bedraggled. If I hadn't stopped and leaned in, this is at our friend's house in Maine earlier this week. And I had to really almost crush some of the other flowers to get in there. But that was the moment I found when I stopped and leaned in for a closer look. Photography also draws our attention to a scene that we may not have noticed the magnificence, that we may have noticed the magnificence of. Maybe we didn't know how, though, to approach it, to convey what we're feeling. This next picture is a picture from at that same friend's house in Maine on the dock, looking out to a swimming platform on a lake. And there's a fishing pole there. I was sitting on the bench on that dock, and I was enjoying just this euphoric sense of peace and calm. If you've ever been out on the water like this, where it's just still, and you can see the sky reflected, Maybe you know that feeling. But I thought, this photograph is just sort of lazy. I'm just sitting here. It's not really conveying what I want it to convey. So I got up off of my seat and went to the edge of the dock and then took this photo. It's the same scene, just a little bit closer with some of the extra noise cleared out. And now, you're immersed in that calm, right? You're immersed into that scene of reflected light, reflected sky. And you just feel like you could swim out to that diving platform if you wanted to. Sometimes in photography, you see something in someone else's photo that maybe they didn't even notice when they took it. Don Russo shared this photograph of a beautiful beach sunset. You can see there are tracks on the sand, and the sun is just touching the water, and there's sort of some sort of a creek happening off to the left there with some water that carved in to the sand. And her mom was looking at it. She goes, "That's the heart of God." And Don was like, "What are you talking about, Mom? I mean, I think it's a nice photo, but I don't see what you're saying here." And she goes, "Look, the water over there on the left that's been carved out of that sand is a sideways heart shape. It's just perfect." And Don thought, "Oh, okay." She didn't even notice that when she was taking it. She didn't notice it when she was looking back at the photo later and decided it was a good one. But that photo gave her mom a chance to see something that she hadn't even seen in that moment. With photography, you've got to pay attention to light and shadow. You've got to know the angle you're taking the photo at. This is a picture of my son Gabriel, who declared one morning that he wanted to take a tubby in a bucket. And I said, "Okay." And he said, "I want to do it on the front lawn." And I thought, "Oh, brother, okay." And Chris and I both realized this is a great moment for a photo, and so I got over where the light was hitting him from the side. It's a little bit hard to see on the screen here, but there's a golden light happening on the left side of his body. He's got this big silly grin on his face, and he's in this blue bucket. And Chris was taking photographs from the other side. I left this imperfect one in here so you can see where Chris was taking photographs from. And he didn't get nearly as good of a shot because he wasn't where the light was hitting just right. I think we often need to look for the light, don't we? And pay attention to where it's coming and what the shadows throw into relief, that light and that dark can both be beautiful. And often we don't even notice it until we're doing something like photography that depends so much on light. A lot of photographs end up with an imperfect detail, like my husband's one-third of his body in this photo, or like this photo. It's a little hard to see on the screen here, but the flowers in the foreground are completely blurry. I think that you could almost, if you look too closely at them, you'd think it ruined the picture. But at the same time, you almost don't even notice that flaw because you're drawn right away to the hummingbird that is just about to get some nectar from these beautiful blue flowers against a beige adobe background. I took this photograph in Arizona when I was there 3 years ago now for NGLI, my leadership program. And I just happened to be in that right place at the right time. And I think that hummingbird is giving me the side eye, like, "What are you doing up here, human?" But it posed anyway. And the imperfections don't matter because the whole is so beautiful. Speaking of being in the right place at the right time, here's a gorgeous photo of some mushrooms that Kathy Fink took. And when she looked at the photograph later, she thought, "Oh, what went wrong here? Was I out of focus? Was this really blurry? Did I do something with the light settings wrong?" And then she noticed that the background of the photo looked pretty good. And so she showed it to a friend of hers who said, "Ah, you caught the mushrooms when they were sporing. When all their tiny little spores, kind of like seeds for mushrooms, were coming out of the cap of the mushrooms, and that the shutter was open for so long that it ended up blurring and looking like these beautiful curtains kind of coming down from the mushroom." And she was there just at the right moment, at the right time to capture that. And what a sense of awe and mystery that gives us for God's creation. And the serendipity of the spirit just being right there to capture that one perfect moment, and that she didn't even know was happening when she took the photograph. When all these different elements of photographs come together, it's not that you can just convey a mood or capture a lovely moment. You can also capture love. It's a photograph taken by a woman who calls herself Hanny Bobani. I don't think that's her actual name. But she lives in Taipei, Taiwan, and this is a picture of her newborn child being held in the bath by her four-year-old, who's looking up at their dad, and the dad is about to maybe place the baby into the four-year-old's arms or take the baby out of the bath, and the older child and the dad are looking at each other with just this delight and love in their eyes, and the little wrinkling naked baby is right in the middle, sort of spotlit, almost like this baby is newly arrived from heaven. And it's just a gorgeous portrait, not just of family members, but of love. Here's another photograph of love. This was taken by Brandon Stanton, the photographer behind the blog Humans of New York, which I've mentioned a few different times in sermons. It's a photograph of a couple where the wife has Alzheimer's and has slowly but surely lost most of her ability to communicate and a lot of her former personality. And she's got her eyes closed and her face is kind of slack, and she's resting her head on her husband's shoulder. And he just has this sort of half smile of just such warmth and affection on his face. And Brandon tells their story that she has still actually found some ways to communicate with him, that she'll tuck her hand into the open spot between the buttons on his button-down shirt just so she can be a little bit closer to him. And that's something that she's done their whole marriage. So even though so much of her is lost, that connection is still there, and you can see it in this photograph, even though it's not showing her hand there between his shirt buttons. Don Russo was talking about the power of pictures like this, that when you go back through and you see snapshots of family members from long ago, oftentimes they're not perfect. Someone's face is blurry or turned halfway away, or the lighting's not great, or the colors have faded. But how wonderful it is to have these photos to go back and tell stories and remember memories and to see beloved people, what a little glimpse of what they were like before you knew them. Like when your grandmother was young or your grandfather was young and they were totally in love with each other and you didn't know them then, but you can see that in a beautiful photo like this one. Photographs definitely do tell a story. You all know the story that this photograph tells. We all know it because we've lived through this global pandemic. This is a nurse named Tessina who works in an intensive care unit in the United Kingdom, and photographer Emily Gilhespie, who is also a healthcare worker, captured this portrait of Tessina with her respirator down and the bruises on her face from wearing it for long shifts during the height of the pandemic. And there's something about how her face looks so sad and so burdened, and yet the light is shining on her in such a hopeful way. That tells a whole story right there. Photographers and photographs can also fuel a movement for justice, for the kingdom, for God's kingdom to be a little bit more present on earth. They can change the world and capture those movements for a better world. Here is a picture that many of us will recognize. This is a photograph by Jonathan Bachman called Taking a Stand in Baton Rouge. It was taken in 2016 in the aftermath of police shootings of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling. And the woman there standing just so regally and so firmly in a beautiful flowing dress, she's standing in the middle of the street while two or three police officers in riot gear come up and grab her hand to take her away and arrest her because she said she was not going to move from where she stood. Her name is Aisha Evans. She's a nurse from Pennsylvania, and she said that she came to these protests so that she could tell her five-year-old son that when people murdered adults who look like what he'll look like when he grows up, that she did something about it, that she didn't stand by idly, but that she came and protested with her body. Here's another photograph that changed the world that I'm sure everyone here will recognize. This photograph is of a young naked girl walking down a country road screaming with other kids screaming and with soldiers behind them. It's black and white. And it was shot in 1972 in Vietnam by photographer Nick Ut. And it's often called Napalm Girl, but the actual title of the photo is Terror, The Terror of War. This is one of the photographs, along with a handful of others, that really changed the tide of public opinion in the United States and helped to end the Vietnam War, because it showed so starkly the innocent suffering that happens in war. Photographs so often change how we see things, and yet sometimes we don't necessarily know what happened to the people in those photographs that made such a difference. The young girl in this photo is named Phan Thi Kim Phuc, and this is her this year on the 50th anniversary of that photograph. She lives in Canada now, and she was interviewed about that photograph and about the war in Ukraine and all that children there must be going through, and she said that she just wanted them to know that there is hope after all of that trauma and violence and war. I think in our tradition we would say that there is resurrection. And then, you know, we've looked at some beautiful photographs taken by folks in our congregation and taken by professional photographers. But there are also moments that you cannot capture with a photograph. Sometimes you're looking at a beautiful sunset and you just can't get the colors to come out as gorgeously as they look to your human eye, which reminds us just how amazing God's creation of this body is, right? Or maybe you're trying to get your kids to smile and both look at the camera at the same time, which I don't think has ever happened in the history of my being a parent. And Dawn at Bible study said that's her cue that it's time to put the camera down and just experience that moment. Just to be in that moment instead of trying to obsessively get a record of it, right? I think we've all been caught up in that tension of trying to get just the right shot, and maybe we missed living in the moment. Because friends, it is when we stop and turn aside and see, like Moses did, that the ground we are standing on becomes holy. Let those with eyes see. Amen. Friends, as you go out into this hot day, as you go out into this beautiful and sometimes brutal world, brutiful, if you will, remember to keep your eyes open, because there is so much that you will see that maybe you didn't notice before, so much that you will see that you did notice before, but you will see in a new way. There are imperfections to be overlooked, or even to say, ah, that makes this even more beautiful. There are changes of perspective and to be had and to be made, and there is light and shadow to be noticed. There are stories to tell and love to communicate and a world to change. Whether you love to take photographs or not, whether you love to and think you're not so great at it, or whether you're the person who often is the one looking at the photographs, we all can see these things and thank God for them and celebrate them and live even more richly in God's world because of them. Go in peace.